Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Neinor Homes Fiscal Year 2018 Results Conference Call. The presentation today will consist of two parts. First, our CEO, Juan Belaez, will present the results for the full year 2018 while providing the outlook for the business. Then our CFO, Jordi Argemí, will present the financial overview for the period. The second part will consist of a questions and answer session. There will be live questions for those of you that dialed in to the provided conference call number. As usual, you shall be able to submit questions at any time during the presentation through the Submit a Question to the Presenter window. I remind you that this webcast is being recorded and will be available within the next few days for replay on demand. Additionally, within the next few days, a transcript of this conference call will be also available for you to download. Juan, let us begin.
Thank you, Juan. Good afternoon, everyone. It's a great pleasure for me to have the opportunity, after 3 years of really tough work, be in a position to present the results, the strong results of this company in 2018. I'm going to try to go through the main KPIs of the company, and afterwards, just to pass the word to Jordi, just to also revisit the financial KPIs of this company. Let's begin with our land bank. The land bank of this company in 2018 finishes with 13,000 units, meaning these 500+ units than the one that we finished 2017. We have been tremendously disciplined buying land in 2018. We have been able to buy 1,050 units of ready-to-build, of fully permitted land. We will visit in a second the quality of it. Also, we have been able to sign 1,400 units through strategic deals. Neinor Homes is the first developer in Spain that has been able to put together equity-efficient deals. Regarding our development activity, we have delivered more than 1,000 units. Actually, we have delivered 1,036 units. We are really proud of it. Regarding 2019, the 100% of the developments are up and running, 80% of them beyond facade works, and the company fully focused on making it happen. Regarding 2020, this company has today 4,200 units. Actually, a little bit more than that. 3,300 units are today work in progress. As we speak, we are working in signing additional contracts. When we present Q1, we will give you full visibility on that. Let me say two or three comments about this development activity. The deliveries of this year are 3.3 times the deliveries of 2017. The work in progress of this year, this 5,300 units plus, is 2.5 times the work in progress that we have in 2017. The dramatic performance of the company from operational perspective is here reflected in real data. Our pre-sales activity has also been more than strong. We have signed 1,600 units. Our global order book is 2,750. It's 940 million euros. This is at 24% above our order book at the end of 2017. Our visibility on the 2019 pre-sales is 81%. If you remember, quite similar to the one that we presented in Q3, because it is our decision. We are fully focused in capturing HPA, and we will open for sale these units as we speak. Regarding 2020, we are exactly where we said that we want to be, 30%. If you remember, 30% is the number that Neinor, not everyone, Neinor, needs to have access to its CapEx. Regarding margin protection, probably we should say margin expansion, the company has been able to capture an 8.1 year-on-year HPA. We have faced pressure on the cost inflation. The answer is yes. The number we are seeing is in the range of 7-8%, but in the deliveries of 18, our gross margin is 29%. That means that we have not only delivered, but we have made more money than the one we reported. This margin is also 1% above the margin that we had in our deliveries for 17. Regarding our valuation, it also reflects this activity. Our gap is 1.823 billion. It's a 6% like-for-like increase. Our NAV is roughly 1,400. This means a 7% increase against the NAV that this company reported last year. This means that the NAV per share of this company is 17.5. Probably this is the argument to discuss the share buyback program that we will discuss in a second. And regarding our ancillary businesses, legacy, you remember that we were in 85 million last year. We have reduced it roughly to half. We have just 44 million. That means that we have revenues of 37.5 million euros at a neutral margin, exactly what we said. And regarding servicing, 18.5 million EBITDA. This is basically the same EBITDA that we reported last year in a very steady, stable business. Let me say that we are more than proud of the performance of this company in 2018. Let me deep in a little bit in some of these concepts. In slide 6, you have a zoom in of our land acquisitions. We have been disciplined, and we will continue being very disciplined. We have found 1,050 units of ready-to-build land, and we have bought all of them in our core markets. We will continue exactly with the same policy, buying the good land in these specific locations. Regarding HPA, you see our performance, the 8.1%, and how it is split between quarters and between regions. This is a consequence of a market that is still helping us a lot, but it's also a consequence of our management of the HPA and of the rhythms of sales. And finally, before just passing the word to Jordi, let me please stop a second in the deliveries of the last quarter of 2018. We have delivered 580 units in Q4. Significant part of them in December. That means more than 10 deliveries per day. I do not know if at the peaks of the Spanish best momentum, the biggest Spanish home builders were delivering the number of units that this company has delivered in December. The deliveries of this company are beyond the deliveries of anyone else in the market, even putting them together. You were here in September, some of you. You remember the quality of our lands,
the quality of the work in progress, and please, you are invited again to visit them. We are really proud of the deliveries that have not happened in just one specific region. The deliveries of the company this year have been in the center, in Madrid, have been in the east, in Barcelona and surroundings, have been in the north, in the Basque Country, have been in the south, in Andalusia. So the company is showing its capacity, its operational performance, and the strength of this team. Jordi, can you say and explain us how all this activity is reflected in our numbers, please?
Certainly. Thanks, Juan. As we did in the last quarter, we have simplified the financial section in order to show only the main data points. So should you want to look at the details, you have the same slides of every quarter in the appendix. Now, you may remember my last comment in Q3 results that basically was that we were already a profitable company, but there was a lot of homework left for Q4. Given that almost 50% of total deliveries and 65% of notarizations should happen during the last quarter. At that time, we were confident getting the annual targets, but now we can say this is a fact. We have not only achieved them, but we have also exceeded them, so we are very proud of it. As you can see in the slide, we have closed the year with revenues of 382 million euros, which means more than 70% increase compared to 2017. Positive EBITDA adjusted of 56 million euros, which means more than 14 times the result of 2017. And a very strong and positive net income for the first time of 50 million euros, exceeding by far the analyst consensus. This means that the last quarter has been very strong. With only one quarter, we have notarized almost 700 units. And as a result of this, we have recorded the same revenue level of the first three quarters. We have multiplied by seven times the EBITDA until Q3 year to date. And we have turned the net result positive with 56 million euros of net income in one single quarter. So, one clear conclusion is that the company has demonstrated a good operating capacity to deliver. If we analyze what this company has done in the last quarter, this should be already a company of almost 3,000 units per year. Regarding the balance sheet, development stock is the main caption with 1.2 billion. More than 80% of this stock is active, which compares with 75% of Q3, and this shows the operating progress of this company and a relevant cash position, as you can see, of over 70 million. Regarding the leverage, the statutory net debt amounts to 267 million, and the net debt adjusted, which is our way, our conservative way of calculating the net debt, is 344 million euros. Despite using our conservative formula of net debt, we continue having a healthy leverage ratio and even lower to the one seen in Q3, with a loan-to-value of 19%. And last comment from my side. As every year, we do a third-party valuation of our development assets, our core business. And the result is basically a 6% increase over the GAV and a 7% increase over the net asset value, reaching a net asset value per share of 17.55. And this is basically the result of the operating progress that this company has done during 2018, as I commented before.
Thank you, Jordi. Last but not least, as always, I'm going to dedicate a few minutes to things that are not specifically operational and not are specifically financial, but probably had something to do in the performance of this company. And that, unfortunately, it's quite clear that they are not reflected in the value of the company, but I'm sure that at some stage they will. Regarding the governance of this company, we continue being very disciplined. Today, we have had our board of directors that has gone through a number of approvals, just calling the AGM and also proposing to the shareholders the appointment of a new independent director. The new independent director is Andreas Siegel, former deputy CEO and CFO of WeWork, co-CEO and CFO of Goldman Sachs Wealth, and CFO of Deutsche Wohnen. I think that he brings to this board an international approach and tons of knowledge in our segment and in our business. So more than proud to be able to continue capturing talent at all levels in the company. We have spoken about the land of this company. We have been speaking about the NAV of this company. And we have no doubts at all that the best land acquisition that we can do is to buy our own land. We can do it through our own shares, and we are activating, and the board today has approved to reactivate the share repurchase program. Let me dedicate a second to sustainability and the quality of our product. We have signed with Bankia the first green loan in our site, Amara Homes. We have put together the Neynor Smart Sun. Our clients are going to have the possibility to buy solar panels and battery packs to optimize the energy use. We have 60 of our developments already certificated in BREEAM. We have been the first developer to obtain the Spiritium seal, meaning the best standards in safe and healthy. We have four of the startups from our Neynor Next forum already working with us with massive tools. We are going to the market with Neynor Replace, meaning helping our clients to sell their homes if they buy one of our new apartments. We continue just focusing all our go-to-market through our Neynor stores, obtaining scales and optimization in a manner that will surprise the market. All our clients, when they receive one of our homes, are receiving a Google home. And we continue investing in digital tools, basically based in monitoring all our efficiency from a cost and timing perspective. There's effort behind this, there is value behind this, and we are sure that will be reflected and begins to be reflected in the delivery and the performance of this company. Thank you very much. Juan, your turn.
Yeah, very good. So we'll now go into the Q&A session. First, the operator will invite those connected by phone to ask live questions, and she will indicate again how you can ask for your turn. Then we will answer those incoming written questions that you are sending through the application. So, operator, please proceed with the questions over the phone.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We will now begin the question and answer session. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Please stand by while we compile the Q&A queue. This will only take a few moments. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. Once again, please press star and one if you wish to ask a question. And the first question comes from the line of Jose Carvo from Niner Homes. Please ask your question.
Hi. Good evening, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes. You're from Niner Homes?
I like that.
It's the second time it happens to me. So I have two questions. My first question is on land acquisitions. You are saying here that you have all the land that you need for the 2021 deliveries. I understand that for 2022 you have 1,400 units from the strategic land. Is this correct or not? And then if you could comment on the 2,600 units that you would still have to buy throughout 2019 to get to 4,000. If you could comment on this. And the second question would be on margins. If you could tell us from the 3,300 units that you have already, WIP, for the 2020 deliveries, what is the margin that you have today without assuming any future price increase? And then you can refer to what are your prospects with the price increase. Thank you.
Yep. The first thing regarding land, regarding the strategic land, the answer is no. The 1,400 units, they are still in a process that some of them might be ready to build. All of them, I don't think so. So we need to monitor closing how the planning evolves. But the answer is, as you know, in Spain, certainty is not the same, but some of them will be, some of them will not be. Regarding the 2,600 land acquisitions, we will buy all the land in a dramatic, disciplined manner. We will buy as far land as we can buy that meets our requirements. If it does not meet our requirements, we will not. So the company will continue being disciplined. We are not going to be in a hurry. We are not going to do things that are not accretive and incremental value to the shareholders. So the process will be, we will continue searching, we will continue buying, very disciplined, and when they meet the land that meets all the requirements. So the answer is disciplined approach to land. Regarding margins, we will, in Q1, when we present the visibility on 2020, we will give you also visibility on the margins. They are in line, they are aligned with what we have reported in our different reports. Aligned, but let's hold until we present in Q1 with all our guidance in connection with 2020, because there's a lot still going on, and at that momentum we will give visibility on that.
Just a follow-up. Does the fact that you will generate most of the cash flow on the fourth quarter of 2019 this year will affect your timing of buying land?
Obviously, we will be much. There's a very strong cash flow. We will be very strong at the year end. So, in some sense, the answer is yes. But on the other, I think that we can. We have sufficient power to continue buying the lands that meet our requirements. But the answer is yes. This company begins to be very strong from a cash flow perspective. It's one of the privileges that we have, and we will be even more stronger and the year end, because as you say, we have had tons of deliveries at that moment.
Thank you.
Thank you. And the next question comes from the line of Flora Trinander from CaixaBank. Please ask your question.
Yes, hi, good evening. First question is on rental and use that you could be looking into this segment. Can you just explain us the rationale and what does this mean in terms of target deliveries if you are maintaining the targets and also the expectation of paying dividends from 2020? I was just wondering if this means that your view for home building and for the prospects of growth for home building are weaker than you thought at the IPO time or even a few quarters ago. The second question is regarding the share repurchase that you mentioned. So excluding the incentive plan, how much could we be talking about in terms of share buyback for shareholders? And then last question on debt. The figures in terms of net debt came well below the guidance you have commented to the market. The deviation comes mainly from lower construction capex, or can you just help us understand what has been the deviation to the 450 million guidance you had given? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. First question regarding rental, two comments. The first one, it's a kind of a pity that in this country you have more leakages than deserved. The second concept is yes, absolutely. We have been analyzing rental. We have been analyzing it with the support, as it has been in the press. I have read of Goldman and JP Morgan. The option has, I think, a lot of sense in many purposes. It's an opportunity. It's a huge opportunity out there. We have evaluated it very deeply, and it has been discarded. As of today, in the meantime, it's much more incremental value for our shareholders to continue being very disciplined in our existing roadmap. So, correct, analyzed, as of today, discarded. In the future, who knows, but absolutely focused in our build-to-sell strategy. It is much more incremental. Regarding dividend, it's a clear key milestone of this company. We want to give dividend towards our shareholders. The sooner, the better. And it will be, obviously, a combination of the land acquisition program in a very disciplined manner, together with the share buyback program that I mentioned in a second. It is your third question. And dividend is a must, and it's our clear goal. So in no way any activity will be affecting dividend in this company. And regarding the share buyback program that you mentioned, the amount, what I was mentioning, it will be a combination of the land that we can acquire in a very disciplined manner. The best land, it's quite clear, that can be bought through our shares. The amount, let's see. We were beginning now with an indication of there's sufficient amount of money just to be devoted since day zero, but let's see how it evolves in this discretionary manner. So I do not give you an exact figure, but it will depend on the combination of these parts. And regarding the CapEx, the answer is correct. It's the net debt, it's lowering. I think it's good news that we continue being very disciplined in our net debt approach with this 19% LTV. It's true that it's obviously with the CapEx, that it's debt that we like it, it will increase. Obviously, we are seeing the 2018 results here. We are signing a significant number of contracts, and this amount will beginning to grow as we speak. But the answer is correct. The main figure affecting that, although we continue being very disciplined, it's CapEx.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And the next question comes from the line of Alex Fries from Goldman Sachs. Please ask your question.
Hi, good evening, Juan Velayas and team. So two questions. You've touched on both of these subjects already. But the first one with regards to Mr. Siegel's appointment and his obvious background in being a residential landlord, what should we read into that with regards to build-to-rent for an end user versus keeping it on your balance sheet, and how are you thinking about the different options of going through that? I know you said you've discarded the current bid, but a little bit about your sort of medium-term thinking there, if possible. And then second, a little more clarity on the point you made about the buybacks, if possible. So beyond what's required for the share incentive scheme, given the fact that clearly there's not a huge amount of liquidity in your free float at the moment, so how did you, whilst I agree that your share price is undervalued, how do you justify taking more liquidity out of the market by doing a share buyback at this point in time? Thanks.
Yes, regarding Andrea Siegel, I think that he brings, we have, as you know, we had one seat available since we had an independent board member, Alberto, that had to leave because he began another project which had a conflict with our company. So we had a need to replace him with an independent board member to have the numbers. We had very clear assumption that we wanted an international member just to give us that international background. We have tried to visit a number of names, all of them tremendously strong, and I think that Andreas met all the requirements on this board. He has tons of experience in build to sell. It's true that he has also in build to rent. Do not read nothing in connection with the build to rent, because I have, as I have mentioned, the company, after a deep analysis, it's a clear view that where we are, we have the best value proposition today for our shareholders. So do not read in that terms, nothing to do with that. And more clarity in the buyback, the answer is we have, as you are mentioning, we have a clear view that it's impossible to buy land in Spain of the quality of Neynor's land at the price that we are trading today. On the other side, and this is why we need to visit it, thinking about liquidity. We are aware of it, and this is why we need to be balancing permanently how strong we are with that program. It's a balance between liquidity, because with a clear conviction that there is no best option than buy our own shares. So we will balance it. Sorry, the clarity went to that, and we know that the liquidity is one of the things that we love about this company. It's the only company today in this sector with strong liquidity, with no overhang, and we know that we need to maximize that strength, because we know that our investors give that a lot of value.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thanks.
Thank you. And the next question comes from the line of Alvaro Soriano, Societe Generale. Please ask your question.
Hello, guys. Thank you for taking my calls. My questions. Just a few ones. The first one on the like-for-like growth on your gross asset value. I think it's 100 million. Which are the drivers behind that growth? Because it seems that now construction cost and price growth goes hand in hand. So I don't know which are the main or drivers of that growth. That would be the first one. And the second one is when you reported the third quarter, some of the projects to be delivered during 2019 were slightly behind schedule. I'm thinking Alea Home and some other projects. Could you give us some clarity on whether the construction is improving or is the pace of those works are getting better, just to think on 2019 EPS and if we should review the forecast for this year. And the last question on maybe for Jordi on inventories. You currently, Neynor has currently 1.2 billion of inventories. In theory, the target is to reach 1.7 at run rate. So given your cash position, you need to increase inventories in 400 million. I guess it's CapEx mainly. You have to repay the bridge loan in August to JP Morgan, and you want to do land acquisitions, and you also want to do share buybacks. If you could explain us how you will do it or from a cash flow perspective. Thank you.
Good point. This is for Jordi. Jordi, you go with the NAV and you answer the 2019.
Okay, regarding the GAF increase, basically 30% of this increase comes from an increase in the margin. This means additional GDV minus CAPEX. So the net impact here represents 30% of this increase. And the 70% increase comes from the progress of this company, as I said in the call, that basically just being land, then launch, and then WIP, and finally finished product. This means that the discount or the margin compression is reduced, obviously. So here you have the basics behind. Okay.
Regarding inventories?
And regarding inventories, you're right. No, we have a gap of 500 million euros to reach the run rate level. You know that we finance in the build-to-sell strategy, as we have always done, 100% of this CAPEX. So these 500 million euros will come from the CAPEX facilities that we have, most of them already agreed with the banks. And regarding the extra land, obviously this is a question, once we have the Q1 and the business plans and so on. But this is very basic. With the deliveries, we generate that cash that will be enough just to repay that debt, plus the land acquisitions program that we will have.
Regarding how is it making progress in 2019, I would say, as we have always said, there is a significant number of sites to be delivered at the year end. We are going to fight as lions on a site-per-site basis. We have seen what we have done in Q4 18. I would say that all construction is making progress. I would lie if I say that we will not be tensioned during the whole year. There is one site that I think that I said the other time that for sure will not be there, the Plaza Europa, that we have the construction in that sense is not progressing as we would like. There is another site that we have, by the way, delivered in 2018, so anticipating it, so good news. But in that, it's going to be about everything making progress. I would be not telling the truth if I don't say that it's going to be It's going to be tight, stressing Q4 for sure. Let's see where we are, but making progress in each and every side. And the only one that I have, como se llama, tirar la toalla, how do you say that in English?
Throwing the towel,
it's in one in Plaza Europa that it's not making the right progress. But yes, we are on track.
Okay, just one follow-up on one of my colleague questions on the share buyback. Very interesting story. Any floor or any cap a theoretical floor or cap you are considering, you know, range where you believe it is completely worth it to invest in your own shares? It will depend on which will be the criteria on the share buyback, if it's already decided or maybe it's still in progress.
I would say there is a strong cap. No, there is a lot of room. I mean, we are in the market every day, and a 30% discount to NAV sites in Madrid, in Barcelona, you cannot even dream on that. Okay, so if we see a market come from a land perspective, I would say that we have tremendous way to see that. Having said that, we will be disciplined. We have to combine all the concepts that you have mentioned. We need, obviously, we need to visit with our customer perspective. So, but unfortunately, seeing today's valuation of the shares, there is a lot of room and there's a lot of way prior to hope that hopefully at some stage we will be speaking about that cap. NAV would be the cap.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. And the next question comes from the line of Fernando Abril from Atlantra. Please ask your question.
Hi, can you hear me?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Fernando?
Hi, yes, I'm here, sorry. So just a quick question on pre-sales. I know that I'm aware that you wanted to be at the 30% by year end, but I just wanted you to give us more detail on why looking at quarter by quarter, I've seen that pre-sales have decelerated a little bit in this last Q4, which compared to the previous one, which is normally affected by, you know, it has a seasonality impact. I just wanted to know a little bit more detail on this front, and what's your strategy for 2019? Thank you.
Yeah. Honestly speaking, if you see the number of units sold in Q4, 424. I think if you see Q3 was 476, Q2 453. And Q1 to have, so it's very, very aligned. I think that it's a clear, we are really proud of the way we are managing it. I mean, we have tremendous discipline. Mario and his team are doing exceptional work, just having the market, the units that we want to have. So I think it's more a consequence of the way that we are managing HPA, because we know that HPA is firstly our best margin protection, and secondly, our it's fueling our margin expansion. So in that sense, I think discipline management perspective in a very solid market, obviously it's competition coming, but I think that all the drivers and the rationale behind it, it's management.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, and just a quick follow-up on the WIP units that you reported. Just when do you expect the 700 units left for the 2020 to meet the 2020 deliveries? Do you expect to be under construction? I guess in Q1, but well, if you could give us a little bit more detail on this aspect.
Yeah, we are working. I think that's a lot of you see the licenses. We are through our testing processes. We'll give you full visibility on when we report in Q1, what the number of units that we have. Having said that, we are going, first thing we are going to do always is margin-driven decisions. So we are going to do our tender process in due manner, and at some stage, if visibility is in January or in December, we need to be able to educate the market of the right margin-driven decisions. But we are working on it. We will show visibility when we present Q1 and give us a break. We have just presented strong results today.
Okay. Very helpful. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of José Cravo. Please ask your question.
José?
José Cravo from Ninety Homes, your line is open. Please ask your question.
Hi.
Yeah, we can hear you, José.
Just one last question on the 2020 deliveries. I can see that you have the 4,000 building permits. I can see that you have the 30% pre-sales, but you only have 3,300 units under WIP. I was expecting a slightly higher number. When do you expect to have all the units in WIP? Is there any tensions in signing the contracts for the remaining 700 units?
José, you have missed the last answer. It has been exactly the same question. Yeah, the answer has been, give us a break, that we will present them in Q1. We are working on it. We are going always to do things preserving margin with margin protection-driven decisions. When we present Q1 results, we will give you full visibility about the number of units that are under WIP and the visibility on when they are going to be delivered following a margin protection and a client-driven decision. In Q1, we will present. There's a lot going on, and we are now in the process of signing those contracts. Okay? In Q1, you will have the answer.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Ignacio Romero from Sabadell. Please ask your question.
Yes, hello. I have a question regarding constructions delay, and if you are I'm trying to have a feeling if you will be able to get a compensation if there is a delay in one of your sites. I may imagine that there must be some tension right now in some of the works. My question would be, are you comfortable that you will be entitled to a compensation, as I guess it is written in the contract, in the case that a construction company has a delay on your project? How comfortable are you with that issue, with that potential issue?
Yeah. Honestly speaking, the last thing I'm thinking about is compensations in work in progress. What we are fully focused is in, we have very strong contracts. We are monitoring them. I think in that sense, we are very comfortable with the contract we signed. What we are trying to do is to be very focused in all of them, making right progress. Not thinking on compensations, but yes, strong contract with good retention, with good bonds, but I think that I'm focused on delivering rather than thinking on compensations.
My question is, if imagine, this is just an example, that one of the sites is delayed by 6 months. I guess you are entitled to a compensation if the contract is well written, which I am sure it is. Are you comfortable that if that happened, you would be able to get a compensation from the construction company or not? Is this something that is manageable?
I think it's manageable. We like to see our construction companies, the contracts, as you say, are well written. We like to see them as our partners. We try to manage them in due manner and comfortable compensation. We are just focused on timing. If that happens, the contracts are in due manner, honestly speaking, the last of my concerns today.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Flora Trindade from CaixaBank. Please ask your question.
Yes, hello. I'm so sorry to come back. I know it's late, and I know you want a break, but I just want to make a follow-up again on the 3,300, a bit different, because I'm not sure of the reading you have in the slide. So the 3,300 units are for deliveries in 2020 or 2020 and beyond. And just a second question, a more simple one, is just can you provide us the net NAV figure you usually provide, and we don't have it in this presentation? Thank you.
Regarding the first question, answer done. Please, we will present visibility. By the way, showing visibility exact on site per site, hopefully at some stage, we will say you that is not the best manner of protecting margin for our shareholders, because each and every construction company has in front of them delivery date, and this is not the best way to protect the margin and the value of our shareholders. So we will decide how to present visibility in the future, thinking always about protecting and incrementing value. But we'll have visibility in Q1 next year. And regarding NAV, Jordi?
You have to add 120 million euros to the net asset value. So you basically get roughly 1,250 million.
Thank you.
Thank you. And before we take the last question, may I just remind you, if you still wish to ask a question, please press star and one. And the next question comes from the line of Alvaro Soranrino from Societe Generale. Please ask your question.
It seems a tradition to ask again this management, but I'm trying to understand, Juan, why the share buyback? What is the rationale behind? There are many assets that look cheap and many shares that look cheap versus the theoretical value. But what is the reason behind now that you are just in ramp-up phase, you haven't reached your run rate targets, to announce a share buyback? Do you want to protect shareholders against short sellers? Do you want to protect against potential takeover? Or do you want to have treasury shares on your balance sheet? I'm struggle to understand from a capital allocation perspective the reason why share buyback at this stage. Thank you.
Yes, quite easy. We need to think. This company has the privilege of beginning to have a lot of cash flow, and the cash flow of this company, can the best capital allocation can be dividends, land acquisitions in a very disciplined manner, or from a land perspective, if we do not find that very best land out there, we know where we have the best land in Spain, and it is our land. So it's a capital allocation. Decision will be taken always thinking, yes, in our investors, in the companies, in the company as a whole, and it will be dividend, it will be share buyback in a very disciplined manner, or land bank in a very disciplined manner. These are the three alternatives that we have in a company that's going to be very strong from a cash flow perspective, because deliveries are here already.
And just a point here to what Juan Delay has said. It could be good that you just calculate the enterprise value of this company divided by square meters. You will have the how we are valued today, and you will see that we are in 800 euros per square meter or even below in assets, as Juan has said, extremely good. No, so.
Okay, so I completely agree, but those are investors' decisions. As far as I know, your role is to be home builders and buy land, print a margin, and then deliver those units. Okay, so we can assume now going forward that part of your remuneration to shareholders, one of your new tools is going to be on top of dividends announced at the IPO, is going to be a flexible buyback programs to manage sure. That retribution scheme to shareholders. Is that right?
It's a decision to be submitted at the board. At this momentum has been a decision taken at our board level. And at this momentum, the answer is that we are going to make it happen, and we will evaluate at every momentum, and we are not saying what's our policy in the future. Today, we have a share buyback program approved by our board, and I think that it's going to be welcomed by the and we are doing that as a management, and as you are very well saying, With our cash flow, we will decide buy land as home builders in a very disciplined manner, pay dividend, that I think it's our, as management, it's one of our main goals, that we, our main commitments to our shareholders, and if we consider, and our board considers it's appropriate, the share buyback program, that today it has been approved in our board.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And this was the last question for the time being, but if you still wish to ask a question, please press star and one.
Okay, we'll take over, and we do we just have the last two questions on the application are from Mariana Miguel from Kepler. The first one was with the 3,300 units, and we already answered, but the second is on pre-sales. In absolute numbers, you are selling today between 400 and 500 units quarterly. That gives you between 1,600 and 2,000 units annually. Given your run rate of 3,500 to 4,000, isn't that level of sales somewhat low? Can you comment on that?
I think the answer is no. I think that we are going to be disciplined in the 30% goal that we have to have our CapEx in. Then we want to adapt the readings of the pre-sales to the work in progress, having the last 15, what we call the G-Wheels strategy, the best units to be sold at delivery time, or even we are comfortable a few the following months just to capture all the potential value. So from an HPA perspective, is the reading that we have decided that is the best one from an HPA perspective, because we want at any times margin, it's our must. And each and every decision of this company is thinking about margin.
That finishes. I see there are no more questions on the phone. So thank you, everyone, for your time today. An operator, you can finish the call.